reminded by your word that though we do not see you, we believe you. Your word tells us that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And there is a blessing for those who seek you yet have not seen you. May your name be blessed and glorified for all eternity. Father, we once again give thanks for your children, our brethren. Thank you for our brother Peter. Thank you for, Lord, your mercy over his life. Thank you for healing him, O God. We pray for our sister Shade also, praying your healing touch upon her. Both Shade's actually. Thanking you for the surgery that Shade went through. And praying, Father, that your healing will be perfected in her life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Mommy Olubunmi, who is back in Florida. We pray, Lord, that in her older years in life, that your strength will be in her, your vigor will uphold her. Her vision for Christ will not dim, O God. She will never move forward in the things that concern you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you as we are gathered together here, O Lord. May your name be glorified. Jesus, help us to see you. It is not man that we have come to see today, but that we might learn from you, that we might hear from you. Lord, I also just remember all our students who are sitting exams very soon. We pray, Lord, as your word tells us that we have more understanding than our teachers because your word are our precepts. Heavenly Father, we pray that your wisdom will be theirs in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Crown their hard work with success, O God. Father, we ask this and many more things that we do not even know that we have need of, that you do answer. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We normally ask, is there anybody visiting with us for the first time? I'd like to introduce my darling daughter, Tomi Adeshogun, who is my very, very good friend's daughter. You know, we are getting old when you begin to introduce. Tomi, you're welcome into our midst. God bless you. How are we all doing this morning? Is everybody hot or cold? Why are we are we cold? Okay, we're just cold in spirit. We're on fire. I don't see the fire now. It's on the inside. Okay, may the fire be on the inside. And may we be warmed by the fire that is on the inside. Amen. Amen. How are you doing? What's your name again? Sorry, I always forget. Sheyi. Okay. Where are your brothers? Okay. Pray for them all. All right. Amen. Amen. Ah, okay. I was wondering, where is Ohosa? All right. Ohosa is here. Okay. How are you, Ohosa? It's good to see you. Amen. There's this saying that an evangelist gathers, a pastor guards, a teacher guides, a prophet. What does a prophet do again? No, I've forgotten that one. An apostle governs. I think he's only prophet. I don't remember what they do. Eh? You know? Okay. As a pastor, and that is the gift that God has given me, what I do is to guard, and as a teacher, to guide. Because I always ask myself, why are we here today? Why do we take it out of our schedule to always come to church on Sunday? If there's anything we are doing which will not yield fruits, it doesn't make sense, right? As a businessman, I know that I will not trade my hours for that which will not yield me something. And it's the same thing. There's a reason why each and every one of us is gathered here on Sunday. And may that purpose be made manifest in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Sister Folake, were you here last Sunday? No, okay. You've not escaped. You know that. All right, I just want us to reflect today about some of the things we have been learning over the past few weeks. And, you know, there are some things that had been on my heart. And when we had our prayer meeting on Friday, there was a touch on that thing that had been on my heart. And when we had the Bible study with Brother Aloja on Saturday, you know, it was the same thing that was touched on. And I said, okay, there's something about this which I believe the Lord wants to encourage us about, which I will be touching on also today by the grace of God. In the last few weeks, we have been dealing with the life of Lot. Lot being the nephew of whom, Dio? Wrong name, Dotson, sorry. You better not. I'm not growing old. Abraham. Okay. And all of us, we looked at the life of Lot, right? And we saw that there's something about the life of Lot that nobody really wants to emulate. We saw the progression of his life from somebody who was a wealthy man, blessed by God greatly, not even small. His uncle, Abraham, was also blessed by God. And from being a wealthy man, proceeding to the gates of Sodom, going into Sodom, and eventually losing everything in Sodom, coming out to being a man who lived in caves, eventually doing abominable and detestable things with his daughters, giving birth to Moab, the first daughter giving birth to Moab, second daughter giving birth to a child that was named Ben-Ammi, Moab being the father of the Moabites, Ben-Ammi being the father of the Ammonites, all these tribes being sworn enemies of Israel. And then in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, we read about Lot. Peter calling him a righteous man because his spirit was vexed with the ungodly and unwholesome practices of Sodom. And, you know, if we did not have that perspective of the Bible, we will think that, all we know about Lot is all these things that he did wrong. But the Bible gave us an inkling into the heart of Lot. And the Bible called him a righteous man, righteous Lot. But you know something? In all these things that we have read about the life of Lot, there's something that also I did not bring to our understanding in the past few weeks. Can somebody open to the book of Matthew? Matthew. Doctor, are you there? Chapter 1. Okay. What does verse 8 tell us?
Esau was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. Jehoram was the father of Uzziah.
No, go backwards, please, from verse 7.
Oh, 7? Oh. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam.
Okay, Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. I want us to go back. Before that, who was the father of Solomon?
David.
David was the father of Solomon. Who was the father of David?
Jesse.
Jesse. Who was the father of Jesse?
Obed.
Obed. Who was the father of Obed?
Boaz.
Boaz. Who was the father of Boaz?
Salmon.
Salmon. Now, Boaz married whom?
Ruth.
Ruth. Boaz married Ruth. Okay. So all these genealogies we are reading, who did it end up with?
Jesus.
Jesus. What tribe was Ruth from?
She was a Moabite.
How did the line of Lot get to Jesus?
Oh.
Oh! Ruth, where was she? What tribe was she from? She was a Moabite. And who was the father of Moabites?
Lot.
That's true. So, and even one verse before that, Salmon. Who was Salmon's wife? What do we call Rahab? So both the good, the bad, and the ugly in the line of Jesus. Helping us to know that he's proud to call us brethren who are Gentiles, who are once aliens in the commonwealth of grace. So, you know the beautiful thing about this? That verse in the Bible that says, it's not according to what we will to do, but according to what God has elected. He was talking in Romans 1, when he was talking about the life of Esau and Jacob. When he said that the older brother will serve the younger. So, no matter what or how we live, if God has proposed something, we might go against the plan of God, but God in our own mess will still work out his own plan. But it is good for us to work according to his plan, because if we don't, though God will work out his plan, we will be the loser for it all. Because like I said last week, who wants to live like Lot? I would say, anybody wants to live like Lot, please just put up your hand. And I will pray for you. This is the beauty I find in the Word of God. That I can look at it and identify myself in it. But that is not what we are about today. Now, let's look at Abraham. Right? Which is what I want to talk about today. We've looked at Lot, you know. All that Lot did, eventually called a righteous man. Abraham was called the father of faith, right? And we all know the story of Abraham very well. You do? Okay. When Abraham was about, how old was he? He was 75 years old. God came to him and gave him a promise that he will be a father of many nations, that from his seed, the whole of the earth will be blessed. At that time, Abraham's wife, Sarai, she was called at that time, had no children. And like many of us, when we believe that God has promised us something, or a word has come from the Lord, or you read a word in the Bible and you hold on to that word and you wait and you wait and you wait. And what you have held on to, you're not seeing it come to pass. Many of us, you know, after waiting maybe a few months, what happens? We stop waiting. It's either we say, well, maybe it wasn't God's plan, or some people will turn to plan B, or some people will be angry and say, you know, God is not, he doesn't really want my good. But let's look at the life of Abraham. Abraham, how long did he wait before the promise of God eventually came to happen? It was 100, about 25 years. About 25 years. So I am 50, I turned 57 a few days ago. What's 57 plus 25? Students, 57 plus 25. You sure? Is 82. Okay. So you can imagine me waiting for God from now till 82 for a promise to happen. Now, the question is, was Abraham ever moved in faith that he never wavered? He wavered. Are you sure he wavered? No, he didn't. Good. We say he didn't. He did. Okay, Sister Akike, you said he didn't. So, how? Like I said, this is interactive today. How didn't he?
He still believed God that, you know, the Lord was going to do what the Lord was going to do, but he, based on what, is it Dotson said, that there he accepted what Sarah told him to do, you know, so it wasn't that, I don't think he just went with it, but he still trusted God. For me, I think that reading it, he still trusted God that the Lord would do it at the appointed time. So he still trusted God for it. So that's why I'm saying he didn't waver. His faith didn't waver. He may have, you know, gone with what his wife wanted him to do, but he still knew that God will do what God will do. And he still trusted that the Lord would do what he promised.
Okay. So you said he still believed, right?
Yeah.
But so there was never a time where he said, maybe God wants to do something else.
No, I don't. I mean, that's my own belief. No.
Okay. Remember when he asked God that maybe Eliezer, my servant, could have a child? Will we call that, oh, he still stood, he never wavered?
Well,
because I want us to look at these things together.
I guess it depends on how you're looking at, you know, you're looking at it, if it means his faith wavered, you know, it depends on how you're looking at it. He still trusted, I just think that he still trusted that the Lord would do it at the appointed time. Mm-hmm. However, you know, the circumstances that was in front of him at that point in time, you know, his wife telling him to, you know, take his handmaid. Yeah.
Okay.
He still knew well, that no, God he, would he do was, when it happened.
He was but, the man of the household.
Yeah.
So he could have told Sarah,
I know.
This is what okay. God has said, though.
And I feel that when he was talking about his Eliezer, I mean, his servant,
yeah,
he was probably, I mean, for me, I'm seeing it as he was saying there that, well, I have, you know, is he going to be the, he was just telling God that, you know, Lord, you promised me something, mm-hmm. but is this, my servant would be the one who is here would be in charge of all the things that you have promised me. He was just, I may be wrong, but. I just think that he just still trusted that whatever would happen. However, along the way, he may have, you know, people may have, I guess people influenced him a little bit.
It's good. And, you know, it's this is what we grapple with when we're dealing with God, because it's not esoteric. It is a reality that each of us will live. It's a reality that when we ask God for things, or we expect that, oh God, according to your word, I'm believing that this person will be healed. According to your word, I'm believing God for a spouse. According to your word, I'm believing God for a job. And when it is not coming, there are times when we get to the place when there's an if that begins to develop in our hearts. Or we can say, God, are you really going to do it? Yes, I agree with you. What God has said might be in one part of the brain that you are still processing it, that God can never lie. But another part of your brain is telling you, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So, Muradeke will be how? Can you mind Muradeke from now till Muradeke is 25? And I'm still saying, God cannot lie. People around you that they know your story, they will begin to look at you as that sinner Bulabumi. You know, he's always saying the same thing after how many years. But God's purpose still came. What I'm trying to make us understand in this, no matter what you do, God will still carry out his own purpose. To let us know that, look, your salvation, it is not you. It is not about you. You know, and it's a pity that many pastors have come to think that the gospel is about man. No! If we've ever believed that, it is not about us. It is about God using us to carry out and bring to bear his own plan. God does not worship man. God does not say, oh, Sister Kemi, you are too good. I cannot do without you. It is we who say to God, you are too good. We cannot do without you. Because when God says he will do something, he will do it. We might waver at times because we do not know when he will do it or how he will do it. And that is one of the greatest difficulties in working with God. Because you don't know when God will come through in what he has said he will do. And that is the point where we begin to say, well, I've waited this long. Is this what God really wants for me? Because when God has said he will do it, no matter which way you go, he will not change what he said he will do. He doesn't change it. He will do it. So, God saying to Abraham saying to God, this my servant, perhaps he will be the one that will bring your plan, God, to bear. Why don't you let your plan be through him? And God said, that is not it. Second time, Sarah came. Remember that Sarah was the one when she was 89? When the three angels came to her, that she did what? Why did she laugh? Thank you. It was not only impossible, it was ridiculous. Ridiculous. You know, Sister Buki, maybe she can still have, let me see, Grandma Ned. Yeah.
If you tell Grandma Ned you'll have a son, you look at Grandma Ned. She's laughing. You can imagine she's laughing. That was exactly what Sarah was about. What do you mean? At my age? This is... I can't even keep my own face straight. It is ridiculous. But our God is the God of the ridiculous. You know, we were saying something on Friday. If we cease to believe God for miracles, we might as well not hold church any longer. Because God is still on the throne and he's still doing it. But our own difficulty is, when will you do it? God did not come to Abraham reminding him every year that I'm still going to do it. Maybe within those 25 years, maybe one or two times did God come to him to say, I will still do what I said I will do. So it wasn't a daily reminder that I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. No. Nothing. And yet he had to believe God. That is what faith is. That is what faith is. But you see, what I want us to talk about today, that time, that 25 years in our lives, how do we hold on? How do we hold on as a community? Remember, the Bible says that towards the time of the end, people will look at you and call you a little loony or crazy. That this Jesus, as they say, will be coming again. How many years have you been saying he will come? Where is he? And yet, we believe, don't we? There are times we waver. And let me tell you how we waver. We don't say that we waver. There are times with our actions. If Jesus is coming again, and you believe that he's coming again, your manner of life, won't it reflect it? So sometimes with our manner of life, with the way we live, we don't say it with our mouth, but our actions say that, do we really believe that it's coming again? Do we really believe it? Because it's been saying he's coming again. Since the day I got born again. Before the day I got born again. But he hasn't come. But is he coming? We believe by faith he's coming. But then, these 25 years or more, how do we keep on believing and not waver? Brother Ken, any insights?
Abraham was just a man. And
that's the thing. All of us were people. Even Abraham, Daniel. Oh, thank you.
He was just a man. He reasoned purely like human.
That's it.
And he had choice to sleep with his maid. He had choice to marry whoever he wishes to marry. Yes, he had choice to all that. But to me, I think it got to a time, if it happens, let it happen. If it doesn't happen, no problem. Okay. God is God. I think that was what Abraham had on his mind.
But you know another beautiful thing. When Hebrews talked about the people who had great faith in God, Abraham was mentioned. But the dealings with the servant girl or his question to God wasn't mentioned. Sorry, Prof. Culture allowed it. Which one of them? With the maid. Very true. Culture allowed it. That is, if the maid is if the child is birthed on the lap of the person who owned the maid, the child belongs to the person. That's true. Culture allowed it. But what I'm saying is that that wasn't what God wanted for him. So how do we hold on? Or have we stopped believing altogether? No. So how do you hold on? How do you hold on? Fumito, how do you hold on? It's hard, eh?
Okay. So just keep on reminding yourself about God's promises and just keep on telling yourself that you can't lie. It's not going to be easy. Mm. And I guess surround yourself with people that have gone through situations like yours.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because that is according to what we read in Hebrews chapter 9. That we do not forsake the assembling together of what? Of one another. Because there's something about when we gather together as a body, we gain strength from one another to hold on. We challenge one another to hold on. You know, some of you in this place, if I haven't seen you in prayer meeting, and I know that you are going to baby shower or shawarma shower, or I'll begin to tell you, weeds are growing, right? Right? Who's talking to you? I didn't talk to you. The guilty speak when nobody is talking to them. So that's how we hold on to what she just said. Because if you know that there'll be somebody to challenge you, you would want to sit up a little bit. But if there's nobody to challenge you and say, oh, brother, you are a Christian now. How are you living this way? You live anyhow. And there's a reality to this. Because I know of people who have come from Nigeria to America. And all of you who have just come from Nigeria, listen to me very well. You are in school, right? You will get degree. Amen. Because you work hard and you will get degree. Yes, because you are working hard. You will get it. Ohosa, you will get that degree. Okay? You will get work. Amen. You will get work. And I'm serious. I prayed for you. You will get work. Now, after you get work and dollar begins to flow in, don't forget God. Don't forget church. Because you see, in Nigeria, you pray for the phone to ring. You pray for ambulance to come. You pray that when you switch, light will come on. In America, how many times have you prayed that prayer? You don't pray it because it's there. So the prayers you pray is now decreased. The time you go on your knees is now decreased. When job comes, everything is flowing. Prayer will be even less because now, God, you know that I'm busy. Lotu, that work, when it comes, I know. I thank God for the job. But I'm just reminding you what happens because some of us have been there. Some of us have been there. I remember when I left Nigeria. You know, when you're going through immigrations and you know that they're going to collect money from you. This Bible was what I took out of Nigeria. I had it like this. And I told myself, if immigration asks me, I'll say, I'm on a mission. I don't have anything. And that is exactly what I did. They asked me, Oga, what do we have for us? I'm on a mission.
That is how I left. I got my MBA. I got a job at Freddie Mac. Freddie Mac filed for me. Dollar was flowing in. And prayer began to decrease. And God gave me a word. I will never forget that word. God said that Jeshurun, is it Jehurun? Jeshurun, thank you. Jeshurun has grown fat and kicked. Has grown fat and kicked. Jeshurun is another one for Israel. Because when Israel came into the promised land and everything was all right for them, that was the time they now began to do the abominable practices that God had dispelled the Canaanites out of. And because they had now grown fat, peace all around them, God was no longer a priority. So, my question again, how do we help each other to hold on? That we do not grow fat and now kick. We've said it. One, we don't forsake assembling together of one another. If we see a person who has been fervent, and I don't want to say, look, coming to church or prayer meeting as we're marking time, but you see that the tone or the tenor of somebody is going from fervency, you know, in it telling me about, okay, what she's learned about Matthew, to now wanting to tell me about Britney Spears, you know that the tenor has changed, right? I'm just using an example. I'm not saying you are telling me about. What I'm saying is that when you notice the tenor of all you guys, you come to church together, if you see that your friends, that fervency is no longer like before, you can challenge them. There have been people, and I thank you, thank God for this church, who have challenged me myself. Who have challenged me according to what I preach, according to the word of God, according to my fervency. In that, we hold one another accountable. What other things can we do? One, which I love to do, which I know is the only power I have, is to pray. Pray for one another. The Bible tells us we pray for each other. Paul even asked for the congregation, for the people to pray for him. There are people in church, if I don't see them, and I know that this is not the kind of fervency I saw before, I go on my knees, I begin to pray for them. What else can we do? Yes, Brother Ken. Can I get what God has done for us? Okay. That's very true. By our testimonies. Oh, please, let's help us to read them. Brother Ken's testimony last week, somebody mentioned it, that he challenged them. You think you're forgiving somebody and you begin to dream about something? God is telling you that thing is still in your heart, is not done. You know, and that is how we challenge one another. Yes, please.
Someone said, said by not forsaking the gathering of believers, remaining in fellowship. Right. And then Uncle Peter said, continually remind ourselves and each other of God's plan, though it seems to tarry. Draw examples from history, Noah days, and what God has done before in our lives.
That is very true. Thank you, Brother Peter. You know that there was, in the Old Testament, whenever somebody built a well or an altar, many a times those wells or altars, they do what to it? They name them Behel Lahairoi.
They name them. Why do they name them? Very true. You have to find ways of building altars so that when you come back to that place, you can be reminded of the dealings God had with you. Many of us, or some of us, I know, I do it, I journal. And sometimes when I go back to those journals, I'm like, God, wow, you did this. I had this dealing with you. Wow. Because we are apt to forget. We're human. We forget. But sometimes when you have deep dealings with God, if you write it down and you come back and you see what God had dealt with you, what God had told you, how he had led you through some things, it builds, helps you to maintain that faith. And the faith I'm talking about is not a faith of we're having faith for a short while and we fizzle out. No. To have faith for the journey, that those who persevere till the end will be saved. This is the kind of faith I'm talking about. Sometimes that faith is not individual. Actually, the God, way God designed it is for that faith to be corporate. That is why we have the church. That we all hold one another. We all uphold one another. Because in Christianity, no man is an island. We cannot say that, oh, my faith is for myself alone. Or I don't go to church. It's personal. Mm-mm, it's not personal. Because if it were personal, we will not have that injunction. Do not forsake the assembling together of one another. Because do you know what happens when the enemy begins to isolate one person? You guys, you don't watch National Geographic? What happens? That's it. That's the way lions kill. If you see a herd of wild beasts or buffaloes coming, a lion will never attack. But see one separate from the herd, it's gone. Now let's open to Hebrews. Just a summary of what we've been talking about. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll read from verse 26. Actually, I have my KJV. Let's, so that we can all understand. Can somebody who has the New Living Translation or the New International Version please read?
Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge his own people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will.
Okay. Patient endurance is what you need now. So the writer of Hebrews is reminding them also of how they started out. Okay, go on.
Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you'll continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved.
Amen. 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 Brothers and sisters, I leave you with this. As a church, we need one another. We need one another. If I don't see you and you have been faithful, and I don't call you to see how you're doing, then we only have a gathering. We don't have a church. Because if I love you and care about you, that should be what I do as a Christian. Brother Ken, if I've been teaching you about the way to hold on to that which is the eternal, and I now change, and all I want to teach you about is how to make money, then you need to, Brother Bumi, please, what's happening? This is what you've been teaching. That is how we hold one another accountable. All you students, you know how I get on your cases. If I don't see that fervency any longer, if I love you, I will challenge you. If I don't challenge you, know that I don't love you. That's the truth. We need one another because this journey is long. It's long. It's long. Unfortunately, Abraham did not have the privilege of church, but eventually he still held on and God came through. We have the privilege of holding one another accountable, and may God help us that we will persevere till the very end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes faith ebbs and flows. Sometimes we will be on the mountain, everything is going fine. Sometimes we'll be in the valley because you cannot climb the mountain without going through the valley. I haven't seen a person who goes from one mountain to another. Sometimes, yeah, we'll be low in faith, but we hold one another. That when you are low, I'm pulling you. And when I'm low, you will be pulling me. And together, we maintain. Because as the Bible tells us, our enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking for whom he may devour. And by God's grace, as a church, the enemy will not come near us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us be encouraged and be challenged. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we even thank you for helping us learn from one another, to knowing that we challenge one another in faith. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We remind each other of your promises towards us. We remind each other of the dealings and victories we've had in times past, that we might hold one another, Lord, accountable and encourage one another to move forward, because this is why you created your church. Jesus, the faith that we have, it's not something that we generated on our own. Your word tells us that you are the one who put this faith within us.
And having started, Lord, we cannot expect to finish it in the flesh. And so once again, we ask of you, renew our faith, O God. Help us, Father, for the fire not to be quenched, but for us to be encouraged in you to press on till the very end. Some of us have just started. Some of us are seasoned in faith. And we pray, Lord, for those who are young, that they would mature. For the young men, that they will become old men. And for the old men, that they will be sustained by you, Father, till the very end, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, having done all as Paul prayed, I pray also that we will not be outcast in your kingdom. We will not have shown others the way, and we ourselves not be on the same way, O God. Father, we pray this. Please help us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Like some people to please help us bring the... Ohosa, please help. Shei, please help us bring that table forward.